Well, I'm speaking with the executive director of the Schemer Arts Center, and Jocelyn Hansen, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
You just celebrated, not you personally, the center just celebrated a birthday. 30 years, right?
It has been 30 years.
I have to say, the Schemer is one of those institutions in town that from the time it began, it seemed like it had always been there.
Uh-huh.
I guess because of its location, it's in the Arcadia District,
right.
it's that beautiful building. And
it is. It's just nestled into the foothills, you know, of Camelback Mountain, a beautiful Arcadia neighborhood. It does seem to really suit the neighborhood. We like to think of ourselves as sort of the gateway to Arcadia. But it's a beautiful Santa Fe Mission-style home.
With an interesting history, you know, the land is it was kind of changed hands a few times, and then the structure itself.
It has. In 1919, actually, we like to, it actually was the first home ever built in Arcadia because it was the original pump house for the Arcadia Water Company. And then a banker from Kansas City came when the Phoenician and the Royal Palm and all of those 40 acres of orchard were starting up, you know, in the area. Gentlemen farmers were coming out from the East Coast to build these estates. And the Sir family from Pennsylvania, who actually started Pennzoil, it was their winter haven for over 50 years. And then Martha Schemer, who I like to think of her as a woman ahead of her time. She bought up properties, much to the chagrin of her family and neighbors and her husband. Of course, at $5 an acre or less for many years. And in 1985 or 84, when she sold a huge piece of property to develop Bell Avenue and 32nd Street, this property, the Schemer, actually came on the market. And she walked in and she said, you know, somebody really needs to save this property. It's so beautiful. I want to keep the historic, you know, intent of the building. And I think at that point she was ready for a legacy for herself too, to leave a legacy. So she and Terry Goddard, who was mayor at the time, they worked out an agreement where she donated the Schemer and all of its property. At that point they had sold off the 40 acres, but there was only 4 acres. And she donated it to the city in 84, and then in 85, the doors opened. That's why we're celebrating the 30th anniversary this year.
The city actually at the time had a commitment to be involved in the running of the institution.
That's absolutely right. She donated the acreage and the center, and it was supposed to be an educational facility. It was under Parks and Rec, but then in 2010, when the city, faced such economic crisis, they were going to close the doors. And so the nonprofit 501c3 board of directors, there was an association always associated with the Schemer, stepped up to bat and used their savings to keep the doors open. And then they hired me in September of 2010. And we've been working hard ever since then to keep the doors open.
And how's it going?
It's doing really well. We often hear that we're the best kept secret in the Valley. We primarily focus on Arizona artists and their development. So all of our exhibits and all of our instructors, we teach all of the visual arts, sculpture and painting and all kinds of ceramics and jewelry making and mixed media. All of our instructors are Arizona artists. All of the exhibits that we present are Arizona artists. We've been really proud this last year to present what was a kind of a cutting edge exhibit on 3D printing and all that's going on with that. And we also do many special events, lectures, demonstrations. You might know that we did a huge event for 3 years called Microdwell, where dwellings were actually built in the orchard. And we have plans to do more of that kind of programming in our orchard area and use the grounds.
That's one of the ways I think of the Schemer is it's not just focusing on the arts in the Valley, it's focusing on living in the Valley.
That's a very good question. That's a very good comment. Because that's exactly what we do. We're not stuck. We really view ourselves as a community art center. So we want our programming to really be relevant to the community that we try to serve. And we do expand the definition of what most people think is fine art to include design and architecture. And we've got huge plans for a whole lecture series on desert living coming up in the next 2 years.
As you, your fifth year now of being executive director, are you far enough away from the financial crisis that we were all going through that, not just the city, and the tenacity, I guess, of a 501c3 organization saying, let's make this fly ourselves? That's pretty impressive in 2010. Are you seeing now that maybe those doors that you're trying to open are a little wider, that you can do things more about being here?
Not that
you haven't always, but...
I'm kind of entrepreneurial in spirit myself. I had my own art gallery for several years. You know, I always knew that this has been very much like a startup. And those first 3 years are key to getting your organization, you know, and the infrastructure in place in order to move forward. And I'm telling you, I was quite nervous at the end of the third year. But I should have listened to my own advice, because right after that, the attention to the Schemer, the support of the Schemer and from our neighbors and has gotten much better. And we can honestly and happily say that we are in the black.
It's that time of year when it's heating up, people are looking for things to do, and I know the Schemer always has things going on all summer long, and you've got some great programs every year. What have you got this summer?
Well, we have a brand new exhibit that we just opened, and we did it actually in collaboration, with the iLounge Collective downtown. So we have 10 artists on display representing that collective. We have a brand new outdoor sculpture competition coming up. The deadline for making application to that is in November, 1st of November. We're hoping to unveil it during the International Sculpture Conference that's going to be held in Phoenix the first week in November. The sculpture pieces will be on the grounds for 2 years, and they are all for sale. And a small portion of that benefits the Schemer, but mostly benefits the artists. And then in the fall, in August, on the 29th, we always have a demonstration day where our instructors come together and demonstrate. We open it up to the public. We announce our fall catalog of all the visual arts classes. But people have a chance to come and actually meet the instructor and visit with them about, you know, their potential needs for a class and that sort of thing.
The sculpture competition, you said the deadline for entries is?
The deadline for entries for the sculpture competition is September 24th.
Okay. And these are all local?
They're all local. Our primary focus is the talent that actually, of these artists who choose to live and work here in Arizona, not just the Valley, but in Arizona.
And it's one of those things where the communities, actually it's getting more to what I remember as a kid, where we're more local-oriented.
Right.
Know, the businesses, the restaurants that are springing up all around my house. I haven't moved,
yes.
And it's like I'm in my hometown again. Mm-hmm. So you encounter people working in restaurants or working at shops or museums, mm-hmm. who you find out are sculptors, and you realize you're surrounded, mm-hmm. by these people. I think it's always exciting for people who live here to realize we're surrounded by, you know, it's a classical music station. So when I can say, this is a trumpet, violin, whatever the instrument is, who lives in your neighborhood? This is somebody making recordings and traveling the world playing, but when he comes home, he's just Bob, you know? How many entries do you expect to have for the sculpture exhibition?
Well, we're hoping to have at least 60 entries. We are, you know, most of our exhibits, indoor and outdoor, are theme-related. You know, and it's more of a juried competition. So each show, we feature several artists coming together around that kind of effort. You know, I like to say the Schemer, with our classes and our workshops and the things that we do, you know, our attitude is that you know, we really are a community center. We really want to serve the needs of the different generations. We just had an art space camp. We have several older people taking classes. But our attitude is one of being very welcoming. I mean, it is a home. And so we like to say we are a home for the arts that nurtures creativity and imagination. And our attitude is one that artists aren't necessarily special kinds of people, but that every person is a special kind of artist. And so we really focus in on trying to encourage that creativity in all individuals.
I would like to ask this. You told me you came in 1998.
I did.
And you had a gallery in, is that what you did when you
yes.
came? May I ask where you came from?
Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Okay. Did you come out here to thaw, or what was it that brought you from Sioux Falls?
I actually came here as I had taken a position with the Office of Arts and Culture, the City of Phoenix. Phil Jones was the executive director at that time and hired me to be the director of education. And, of course, our main focus there was public art as well as grants to major institutions. So I did a lot of programming development with the major institutions in terms of education.
What did you know about the Valley before you got here? Much?
Well, I
aside
did.
Aside from it was hot?
No, yeah. Everybody said, well, it's a dry heat. You're going into a dry heat. People thought I was crazy to come here. I've always had a fascination with the desert. I did have an aunt and uncle who lived here many years ago. They spent their winters here. And I don't know if that's how I kind of romanticized it, but somehow I got it, you know, in my head that I just really would love to live here. And as luck would have it, I was at a National Americans for the Arts conference when I sat down at a table, a luncheon table, and was introduced to everybody at the table, and they were all from Arizona. And I said, can't one of you people find me a job there? And Phil Jones followed up. And a year later, I came down to apply for this position and got it and never looked back.
So with a twinkle in your eye, I'm assuming it was a good move.
It was a very good move.
How have you, as I say, I'm a native, so I have my own view of this, but I'm fascinated to know yours, having moved here in 1998, which is a good long while, but you're still a newbie to me. How have you seen things change?
I think I was very surprised when I moved here, and then working for the Office of Arts and Culture, you know, you get to know the whole lay of the land in terms of the cultural organizations and all of that. And I think my expectation coming from a smaller state to a large city was that there would be so much more support for the arts than what I had experienced. And I was kind of surprised to see that it's really a challenge here yet to raise money to support the arts. And, you know, the Arizona Commission on the Arts just got cut their entire budget in half just this year. That affects all of us that apply to the commission or the City of Phoenix. And the other thing is that there are very few foundations, just few foundations in the Valley, but there are very few that also support the arts. And I think my expectations were that that was going to be so much better in a larger city when you're the fifth largest city, you know, in the country. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I think the mayor was quite optimistic the other night at our 30th anniversary reception in saying that it seems like the city, he's very supportive of the arts. And I think he sees a future where things will get better. And I don't think he wants to forget the 13 public-private partnerships that he's dealing with now, of which the Schemer is one. Mm-hmm. He knows that it continues to be very challenging to raise money.
Yeah. The other side of that coin is it was a great place to be a kid and remain so, because you don't move here to move up. You move here to reinvent yourself. You move here to realize those things that you couldn't do back home. So when you work with a music teacher, when you study with an art teacher here, there's more the spirit of, well, why not, rather than, no, we do it this way.
You're absolutely right about that. It's kind of the Wild West syndrome, I think. It's an independence, you know, it's a frontier sort of attitude, and I think that's very true. I think there's a lot of potential here in Phoenix, and I think that's what that is attracting, that younger generation. Because they really want hands-on experiences. They really want to get engaged. They want to get involved. And I think they see that opportunity. I think with the whole startup of downtown and Roosevelt Row and all the galleries and all of that, and I see it at the Schemer. We have the most dedicated employees, and they're so highly qualified to be working, you know, part-time. But as you know, it's tough for these young people to find positions just coming out of college and out of grad school. And they're hungry to be involved and engaged in the arts. And at the Schemer, they definitely get a hands-on experience because it's so small and we're so intimate that they're involved in every aspect of the direction, you know, that we're taking the Schemer.
You know, what I'm hearing you say is consistent through everything you've said is that the original mandate, call to action, was to be a home for the arts.
Right.
And that remains the most significant thing you can do, isn't it?
That's absolutely right.
So we'll encourage people to go to the Schemer, take part in the exhibits this fall, what's going on now, and of course classes.
Right.
All sorts of exciting things.
And just remember, we're located at 5005 East Camelback Road. And our website, which has all of this information, is just www.schemerartcenter.org.
Jocelyn, thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.